we're rebranding basically to better reflect what we have to offer the public and to attract new audiences. This is our 60th anniversary this year, and we're introducing a 19,000 square foot interactive exhibit in celebration of that important anniversary. And all sorts of things are just coming together at the same time, the new exhibits, the change of name, more outdoor offerings for our visitors. So the rebranding made sense to do at this moment.
Why such a long name, though?
Well, I think most people will use Adirondack Experience. And we have sort of the follow-up, the tagline, the museum on Blue Mountain Lake, just to underscore for some of our traditional supporters and visitors that we are still a museum, but we have a lot more to offer as well at this point. But our assumption is that people will think of it as the Adirondack Experience.
You're also changing the logo. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, a number of reasons. One, we loved the old logo where there's a guide carrying a guideboat in the act of portage. But the reality is we figure that probably a lot of people had absolutely no idea what he was doing. And, you know, may wonder, why is the guy carrying the boat on his shoulders? So if you're from the Adirondacks, it was absolutely crystal clear what he was doing. But if you're not from around here, it might have been a little bit of a mystery. And we have heard from some folks that if they didn't really know the institution, they thought, well, maybe it's a boating museum. So the new logo is meant to reflect, of course, the mountains of the area. It's in the shape of a mountain, and it has different colors that refer to different aspects of the Adirondacks, blue for water, green for trees, and white for snow.
So is it just the name and the logo that's changing, or are physical attributes of the museum itself changing?
Well, there are physical attributes, and basically we're building on some changes that have been underway for a number of years. The staff has been retrofitting older exhibits with hands-on activities. And so now we're taking that the next step forward with the new 19,000 square foot exhibit, Life in the Adirondacks, that opens on July 1. And that will have lots of videos in it, touchscreen computers. In some cases, you'll take your own photograph and see it projected up on a wall, or see your photograph sort of overlaid onto a 19th century photograph, so it looks as though you're a hunter or a tourist in the 19th century, something like that. There'll also be full-body interactives where visitors will get to row a guideboat or break up a log jam. So there's a lot changing in the nature of the exhibits themselves. We're also doing more outdoors. A couple of years ago, we introduced a nature trail. We have a birding experience outside. Next year, there will be a boathouse that will be opened, and people will be able to take historic Adirondack craft out on a pond. So there are a lot of literal physical changes that are taking place, programmatic ones, in addition to the name change. The name change just reflects all of those.
David Kahn, you've talked about the new 19,000 square foot exhibit, what the press release has called a mammoth new exhibit, Life in the Adirondacks. From the way that you were just talking about it, is it incorporating some of the older permanent exhibits, or is it separate from some of the permanent exhibits that are at the museum?
The museum is a very large institution. We have 65,000 square feet of exhibits in many different buildings spread out on our campus. So some of the older exhibits will remain as they were. This one, this 19,000 square foot exhibit, is completely new. We basically disassembled an installation that went in 1969, a very long time ago, and have replaced it with this very modern, up-to-date exhibit. We've renovated the galleries, and the new exhibits are going in as we speak, but it'll be completely new. Now, that said, there will be some artifacts that people will be familiar with that will appear in the new exhibit. Among them our late 19th century luxury rail car, parlor car, which, since it weighs about 1,000 tons, was not about to be moved. But the exhibits will all be new.
So when people go to the Adirondack Experience, they're in the parking lot and they're heading to the building. Can you walk us through what they will experience as they enter the Adirondack Experience?
Yeah, well, first of all, we have a very large visitor center, which is the gateway to the campus. So people will go through there and get their ticket, and the gift shop and other facilities are also in the visitor center. And then from there, they will head across campus to the largest building on campus, where the new exhibit, Life in the Adirondacks, is located. And the same building also has our cafe in it. And so beginning this season, people will begin their experience at the Adirondack Museum there. And then if they're interested in boats, they can go over to our boating exhibit in another building and get a look at that, or yet another building where there's a huge exhibit about logging in the Adirondacks. There's yet another building that has art exhibits in it, and it goes on and on and on. But this Life in the Adirondacks will be the place where everybody will start from now on.
How difficult was it to really get this Life in the Adirondacks exhibit together and get it ready for the public?
4 years ago, we started working on an exhibit master plan that looked at the entire campus and made suggestions for basically replacing or upgrading all of the exhibits, all the 65,000 square feet of exhibits. And that's a huge undertaking. So we started with this core exhibit, Life in the Adirondacks, and we'll move on to other projects in the future. But after we started focusing on this 19,000 square foot exhibit, it took about a year and a half to finalize the design. Then gallery renovations began last fall, and that's about when fabrication of the exhibit components got underway, as well as the production of the interactives, the videos, anything that has to do with media. And so the media pieces, there's something like 36 different media pieces, interactives, computer stations, Indian language learning center. So all of that has been underway for about a year, and the exhibits are now being installed.
Does it ever seem odd that you're at a museum that takes a look at some of the ancient times in the Adirondacks, and yet you're using this very high technology to put it together?
Actually not, because this is sort of interesting. This is part of the heritage of the institution. When we opened in 1957, our founder, whose name was Harold Hochschild, used all sorts of modern, what were then modern devices, in order to tell the story of the Adirondacks. He had created dioramas of different Adirondack scenes, and then had audio cones linked to them, so people would lift the cone and hear a story told about the diorama. He also paid a fortune to create a gigantic interactive map that we still have on display today, that you push a button to see where's Lake Placid, where's Blue Mountain Lake, where's Lake George, where's this mountain, where's that mountain. And he also had other devices, something called the photo belt, where photographs were mounted on a moving conveyor belt, and visitors would sit there and watch hundreds of photos move by. Today we have touchscreen computers, you know, and you have access to thousands of images, but back in 1957 you didn't. So the use of technology is really in the DNA of the institution.
Well, along those lines, you do still have that rather amazing panoramic window that overlooks Blue Mountain Lake. You haven't changed that, have you?
Nope. That is certainly there. And one of the great things about this new exhibit is that, you know, you go through the 19,000 square feet, and the last section is all about the story of the Adirondack Park itself. That's a story that we haven't told before. And then when you go out through the exit doors, boom, you'll be there overlooking Blue Mountain Lake. You'll be on our view deck. in the past, people sort of entered and exited from the other side of the building facing the campus. And, you know, we've had people on occasion, visitors say, I never knew you could see the lake from the museum because, you know, all the buildings sort of face inwards rather than outwards. So this is going to be a surprise as people walk out of Life in the Adirondacks and see that glorious view of Blue Mountain Lake.
Yeah, I think some people actually thought it was photographs that had been paneled up there, and it's actually
right.
A window.
Right. Well, actually, that was a conceit. The real meaning has been lost with changes over time. The room where that window is that you're talking about was originally filled with dioramas, and so the dioramas were seen through openings that were the exact same size as that window. So people would sort of make their way around the room, looking into one diorama after another, and then they look through the window, and there's Blue Mountain Lake. So it's kind of an interesting story.
David Kahn, when will the museum be open to the public for the season?
Well, we open Memorial Day weekend for the season. The new exhibit, Life in the Adirondacks, will open a little later on July 1, when we'll be holding a big public celebration. Members of the museum will have previews of the new Life in the Adirondack exhibit beginning June 26th and all that week.